not make a bracha unless, because the bracha will be a mitzvah haba ba'aveira. Because there's another dimension to the halacha of Gezel, and that is mitzvah haba ba'aveira. It came about through an aveira, so you can't make a bracha. It can be to the mitzvah, but the bracha cannot be made. Okay, that's a different type. But anyway, over here, since over here it says I'm going to wash with cleanliness my hands, and then I'm going to
by
go.
The way,
yeah.
I saw something very interesting here. Ketuvah sovah at Bachar Hashem. Korban chatat. Ketuv ketzad v'daman ta'un arba matanot al arba kranot. Korban chatat, you have to have
four corners.
The kohen goes all misaviv
la. Excellent. Okay. Very good.
Dafka chatat.
Because the other so Rav Kalman is saying something very good. Most korbanos, you do not apply the blood to all four corners. Shtayim shehem arba. You, and not only that, you don't even dip your finger into the blood. You splash. You do zrika. You splash. You don't do a nesina. So you don't actually put your finger into the blood, and you take the utensil and you thrust it against the corner of the mizbeach. Shtayim shehem arba. Two which are four, around in the lower side of the Mizbeach. The only carbon that you have to actually go all the way up to the top of the Mizbeach and walk around and put the blood on the corner of the Mizbeach is the carbon chatas. The chatas of animal.
Oif.
What?
Oif also.
Oif also. Oilas oif. An oilas, but there you only do it on one corner. There you don't do it all four corners. There you do malika and you squirt the blood. Only I think on one corner, I think. I don't think you do it on all four corners. You just do it on one corner, if I'm not mistaken. And maybe I'm wrong, I don't remember. But chatas, you have to all, so therefore when it says vasoiviva, I will surround this mizbachacho Hashem. It's describing over here to bring a carbon chatas, because on all four corners. And it says over here you have to cleanse your hands before you atone for chatoim. You must do teshuvah and cleanse your hands. All right, let's look over here at the Likutei Shas on page 235. Erchatz b'nikoyon kapoy v'asayva v'es mizbacho Hashem omar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba omar Rabbi Yochanan kol nifne v'noytel yodov u'manichin tefillin v'kari kriya shema u'mispalel malam because of kilu bona mizbeach v'hekriv olav karbon. Okay, this is and probably more because himself the brachas. The brachas you still remember. So what happened? What does the Gemara over there say? A person, he wakes up in the morning and he first goes to the Beis HaKisei. He goes to the Beis HaKisei to have a gufnaki to cleanse his body from waste. And then v'noitel yodov, and he washes his hands. Okay, so Beis HaKisei netilas yodayim, and then u'maniach tefillin, he puts on tefillin, v'kori kriya shema, u'mispalel, malol v'kosev kilu bonem mizbeach, he built a mizbeach, v'hikriv olav karbon, and he offered a karbon. D'chsiv, how do you know this? D'chsiv says the pasuk b'nikoyon kapoy, with clean hands, v'asoyveva es mizbachacho Hashem.
By the way,
yeah.
You buy an oaf, you don't do it on the four corners because the bird has very little blood and it's not enough to do it. I'll keep it. I'm just
right.
Doing the pasuk in my head of Malacha, so I'll show I'll care on this day. Alright?
So you go up the side, right? It's limited where, exactly. Right. So you just do the on one corner. Okay, now over here when it says in this pasuk teaching the person, I will wash with cleanliness my hands. And this pasuk over here only seems to indicate only. There's a lot being read into this pasuk. According to the Gemara, the Gemara says you have to go through many steps. There are many steps that you have to follow in order to get to this point. Clean your body, wash your hands, put on tefillin, say Kriya Shema, and then you have all of these things. Where in the pasuk do you see anywhere in this pasuk do you see tefillin? Do you see Kriya Shema? Do you see going to the Beis HaKisei? The only thing you see here in this pasuk is b'nikoyon kapoy. I have clean hands. Clean hands, then it's considered to be V'asayva es mizbachacho Hashem. I don't know, unless you want to say the following, is that the word nikoyoin is cleanliness. Cleanliness doesn't just mean your hands are clean. It means that your body is clean. You go to the Beis HaKisa. You go to the Beis HaKisa, you're cleaning your body. Then now you also, your hands are clean, it says the word kapoy. You want to say that the tefillin, you put your tefillin on your hand. Okay, where's then the Kriya Shema? I don't know. There's more going on over here than meets the eye, but we'll leave it with that. All right, let's go to the next pasuk. The next pasuk says, lashmiya b'kol todah, to make it heard. Now, the word lashmiya is an unusual grammatical expression. Rashi right away says that we're missing the letter hey. Le, it's like it says a shva, and there's a hey, le hash. Mia, to make it heard, to speak loud, to make it heard, audible, lehashvia, to make it heard, bekol toda, with words of thanksgiving, ulesaper, and to relate, kol nifli oisecha, all of your wonders. So this is what the person is doing on the Mizbeach. This way, when he surrounds the Mizbeach, it sounds like it's a continuation. It is a continuation to make it known, words of thanksgiving, and to relate Hashem's wonders. Let's see what is living again. Let's do Rashi first. Rashi la'ashmiya, kilo la'ashmiya, kol nifli osecha, ze halel, sheyesh boy l'sho'avar, v'yesh boy l'goig u'mogoig, v'yesh boy l'moyis ha'mashiach, v'yesh boy le'osir lovo. So what does Rashi over here say? Look over here, there's a little thing on the side. That all of Hashem's wonders, the nifloois of Hashem, will be revealed in with the times of Mashiach, during the times of the Melchemes Goig u'Magoig, and okay, let's one more time with the Rashi. Ze Halel sheyesh bo l'sho'avar, v'yesh bo in Halel, the first half of Halel, what do we mention? Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's why in the night of Pesach we break up the Halel into two parts. The first half of the Halel we recite before we eat the matzah. And then the second half of the Halal we recite after the matzah. Because the first half of the Halal is about what happened to the Jewish people in the past. And after we eat the matzah in the Shulchan Aruch, then we're focusing on the future. So the Halal, this Rashi is coming to remind us that there's a beauty in Halal that we don't find necessarily in other places. That Halal is the synthesis of the past and the future. The past is the template for the future. Maise Ovois Simin Labanim. So,
to be more precise,
yeah.
The second half of Halal follows Shavuot Hamaska. Shavuot Hamaska is the future more of Golden Lago, and it goes into Lolonim. But when it happens, let us survive that.
The Shavuot Hamaska should be for the Goyim and not for us. The anger should not be kindled upon us, should be only for the Goyim. So the second half of Halal in its entirety, it brings together the past and the future. So
that could be said for the entire Seder.
Yes. Right. Yeah, of course. Correct. Right. The whole right. And we're using the past as a template for the future. So he's giving us over here a whole three different elements of the future. The future is goig u'magoig. That's the shvoich hamoscha. That's the muhammah. And then there is yimos hamashiach. And then there's something called le'osti lavo. So these are obviously these are very esoteric terms. Because as far as we are concerned, what is the difference between lo'osir lovoi and yemois hamashiach? To us, it all sounds the same. What is the difference between olam haba and gan eden, tchias hamesin? All of this stuff is way over our heads. This is all future events. What is it we have in mitzudas David pasuk zayin? Pasuk zayin in mitzudas David. Where did he go? Here we go, the other page, on page 237. Lashmiya lehashmiya levnei adam b'kol hoida, to make it known to people with the words of toida. Toida is the halal. Okay, to make it known with the words of hoida. Period, that's it. Okay. Let me just quickly pull out my notes. One moment. Here it is. Got it right here. Okay, let's look over here at the next pasuk I wrote down. It's 236. Okay. I just marked off one thing, and that's the next pasuk. Okay, next pasuk is...
You should include with that to be the sapper called the forsetter. That would happen to you. In other words, a nice happened to you. You're being a car, you're Sudas Ado, whatever. It's important to repeat over the event that happened.
What, a Sudas Ado, you think, is an Indian to repeat to.
Repeat what
happened. Don't just make a suda seda and don't tell everyone what happened. Is there such a halacha?
Somehow I remember hearing that.
That you're supposed to relate the event that actually happened at the suda seda. Don't just make a party and
say.
Now
I'm seeing this pasuk and
it's saying.
At
the time of the kol toida, it's important for you to relate the actual miracle which you are celebrating. Okay, it's very true. I know there are Rav Yonis and David in Eretz Yisrael. So every year on the anniversary when he was released from the hijacking, he makes a su'udah. Rav Yonis David was in the hijacking.
But does he go back to the place where he
had? No, of course not. And he tells over the story, like exactly what you said, Rav Doif. He tells over Rav Yonis and David. He was in the plane with his father-in-law, with Rav Chutner. You know who's on the plane? She was a 15-year-old girl, Ezra Fried's wife. Ezra Fried's wife. Yeah, this Ezra. She was on the plane. She was on the plane with Rav Chutner and Rav Yonis and David. She was in the hijacking. And she was 15 years old. And she told me personally, she says that. She told me it was a different world then. You can't really, when you talk about hijacking today, and you try to imagine then. He says it's impossible. It was a very different world, and she said when they took her, there was a couple, a young couple had a baby, and it was very hot, and she helped this couple with their baby. So she took the baby every so often and she cradled the baby and walked and like went for like a walk up and down, you know, to the baby should not cry. So she walked up and down the aisle with the baby. So at one point she felt a gun. The rifle in her back, the barrel of in her back. Mm-hmm. So she turns and she turns around. She sees this one of the terrorists. Mm-hmm. So she sees and he says to get out of my way. So she said to me. So I turned and I said to him, you know, you can say please. You can say please. You don't have to be so nasty. So on the plane, going back and forth with the baby. Can say please, right? So she laughed. She says to me, "Can you imagine?" I said that, but then she says, "You don't understand. It's not possible to understand. It was a different time.
Right.
It was a completely different time, and whatever. You have to, whatever that means, it means okay. So here you're right. Yeah. So he actually does have. Yonis and David actually tells over. He tells over the story. He tells over the so all the gory details from beginning to end. So yeah, exactly what you're saying is the Bekol Toida.
Did they hijack the Cuba or what?
No.
What?
No.
George Blackstone had them planes.
A lot of people were on them plane.
Yeah.
Rabbi Fund, Rabbi Meir Fund was on the plane.
And his wife, he hasn't been on an airplane since. Yeah,
well,
this
week was the anniversary.
And his wife is a psychologist who deals with people who are afraid to fly. And she's so frustrated because she goes on vacations all the time without
him. He'll not go?
And he doesn't go to any family symptoms. Yeah. He hasn't gone.
One of the fellows
was with her on a tour, and she just, for 10 days, that's all she talked about.
Yeah. And Yaakov Drum was also on the plane, right? Of Yaakov Drum.
One of the people wrote a book about
it. He said that what he wanted was a cigarette.
Who?
David Graham.
It doesn't seem like he was affected at all, of Yaakov Drumman.
Not everybody takes it the same way.
Of Yonis and David? It doesn't seem like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know him well, but it doesn't seem
like. Some people have a capacity to, I mean, they, you know.
Oh, right.
But someone I know told me, this person, he died, I forgot his name. He was an elderly person, Chaim Berlin. So he told me he was very close to Rav Huttner. And he told me that Rav Huttner's wife passed away because of this. That's what he told me. He told me that it affected her, Rav Huttner's wife, the trauma of what happened. When they came back, her health, steady decline. She could, and he said it was clearly those who were part of the inner circle. This fellow, he passed away a long time ago. He told me it was everyone. So he claimed everyone in the inner circle. Everyone knew that the trauma affected her.
She could take it very.
The young people, nothing. The young people didn't like, you know, Ezra Fried's wife. I don't think doesn't seem like it affected her at all. Okay, every person comes from a different place. It's like COVID. It's just amazing how the reaction that people had to the lockdowns, it's unbelievable. It's mamish mikotze ela kotze for different.
What's going on in your life?
Yeah,
things like that.
It's just amazing. There are different people. Some people they just never acknowledged that anything was going on in this world, and there are other people that I know that are still living in a basement, locked up. They cannot shake it off. They cannot. And then there are people, all different people in the middle from here, from mikotze ela kotze. And people you would never ever expect to behave a certain way, they shocked you. Like people you thought are very macho and very, you know, they're not afraid of anything. They melted. And there are people that you think are always very scared. You know, it's amazing, certain types of things, you never know how someone will react.
Yes, the husband of one of the teachers that was killed, he died of a heart attack this time, or broken heart, whatever they're saying, broken heart syndrome, that trauma, it had to be.
You never know, no one ever knows. So he's saying over here, it's very important, possibly.
Look at the Chaim 37.
Chaim HaSanach, let's say, Lashmiya b'kol toidah, loseis hoidah, shevdilani min atoyim, a whole loop shot. You have to give thank you that you've separated me from the hatar for people who make a mistake. People who go off the goyim. Ulesaper kol nifloseach befrate pirotus to give over the details. Ki besipor hanes yochol laharchiv hadibur kmo shekasu hapayskim vezel shama kol nifloseach kol daika. We mean every single detail. Motzaam umo vaam v'al hakol v'al hakol lahoidos l'shem Hashem. Okay, he's saying a very important idea. This idea, someone asks the question, why we know the halacha that you're not allowed to say, you're not allowed to praise Hashem too much. It's famous Gemara. There was a person that got up to daven before the Amor, and he said, Okel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vahanoiro, Vaha Adir, Vaha Mefursam, you know, on. So one of the Amoroyim was sitting and listening to his. With whatever, he goes on and on. I don't know, I'm not so good at this. He goes on all the great praises, and then one of the Amorim said, I listened to your Chazar Sashats, and I listened to you rattle through a whole long, long list. That's it? You couldn't come up with more letters in the Aleph-Bays? You couldn't find more words in the dictionary to praise Hashem? Siamtinu l'shvachei demore? Did you conclude all of the praises of your master? So, and then he goes on to give him Musr and say, you know, you're not allowed to say anything about Hashem. The only reason why we can say Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, V'Hanayrod is only because Moshe Rabbeinu, he allowed us, but otherwise you're not allowed to praise Hashem more than you're permitted, because anything that you praise Hashem, you're going to leave out. There's always more. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem's praise is infinite, and whatever you're going to say, you're not going to do Hashem justice. You're going to Like, you know the expression, you kill someone with faint praise. Okay? If you don't say, if you don't praise the person the right way, you ruin it. You call up information from wherever, you have shidduch information. Call up. I once did this for myself. After I did this, I said, never again. It's horrible, horrible, horrible. How you call up people, a few people information, and you ask them about the person. It's really amazing what you can pick up just by the way they say it. They can say the nicest things, but if they lack enthusiasm, they just say it in a very dry, you right away pick up they're just lying. They're giving away so much information, which, and it's not even true. I mean, sometimes the person really is, at least in your opinion, is much, much better than what you're saying about them. And you can cause incredible damage. It's amazing. So that's why Chazal said you're not allowed to say anything more than what they authorized. The problem is, how come on the night of Pesach we have a principle called Hamarbe Lesaper B'Yitzias Mitzrayim Ha'Reizem Meshuvah? You're supposed to sit the entire night talking about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Isn't that a violation of what it says in the Gemara, where the Gemara says that Akel Hagol Gibor, you're only supposed to say what Chazal told you to say, and what they told you to say is built upon psukim, is built upon principles. So the Chayim Masnach answers that question right here and reads it into the pasuk. There's a difference between praising Hashem versus telling over the story.
Right.
It's a very important yisoid. Not everyone gets that. I remember this Pesach. I was talking to someone. He didn't want to accept this. This difference. There's a difference. You can talk about Yitzias Mitzrayim the whole night and tell over all the amazing details. You know what happened? Hashem did this, and Hashem did that, and Hashem did that, and Hashem happened to arrange. But you're not saying Hashem is great, it's amazing. When you praise Hashem, it's praise. It's a very deep idea. It sounds a lot simpler than it really is. Because the truth is, this person that I was arguing with me is right in a certain way. If you're telling over the story in relation to the miracles, that really is praise of Hashem. You're right, but you're doing it indirectly. You're not saying, Hashem, you're great, you're wonderful, you're super, you're phenomenal.
Look at the Maalik, they're in.
And that's what he's saying.
So you tell over the story. You're not using the.
But where are you reading? Where are you reading?
The bear in of the Malva.
I mean, the Malva. Where are you reading?
236.
That's not Chavis Enoch. That's the Malva. I mean, the Malva.
Now moving on to what you just said.
The Malva.
About saying the Sefer versus the praises.
Look, in the Chavis Enoch, let's first do the Chavis Enoch. We'll come to the Malva. The Chavis Enoch says, he says in Chavis Enoch, Lashmir bekum kol toydol lo says toy dol shetlon meta fine ul saper to relate kol nifli osecha bifrote pirotus ki besipur hanes the story
the pratim, not the adjectives of praise you're talking
right
about
right the story now look at the game of the malbum apostle which part pass design yeah apostle design lashmir kol toydol al toyva shachasodem lo sap kol nifli osecha Sheikur ha'hoida hima huma she'uchal nesaper nifle oisecha, the one your wonders she'ali dekach yiru b'nei adam gidulos Hashem. Okay, it's the same idea.
Right, same idea.
Same idea.
It's telling over the story.
Telling over the story. When it comes to tell over the story, there's no limitation. But to describe Hashem's praises, that you're limited. That's a very interesting concept. And it's, I mean, it has to be, because kol amarbe l'savah b'yitzias Mitzrayim harei zeh meshubach. And yet, in the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim, hakel agadol hagibor v'hanoiran v'zehu, and that's it. There's two different elements. There's the story, which is the praise of Hashem, because he's the one who orchestrated the story, but you're not focusing directly on Hashem. It's an indirect type of praise. That's where you're allowed to be marich with no limitation whatsoever. Okay, let's now go back to. I want to finish this mizmor today. Pasuk Ches, Hashem ochavti ma'on beisach. Oh, this is the very. This is supposed to be said every morning. Hashem, I love the ma'on, the abode of beisacha, ulukoyim, the location, mishkan, the dwelling place of kibodecha. Pasuk Ches in the mitzvahs David. Ochavti ma'on beisacha, lavo ba ulil halalecha, to go to this location to praise you. So we know that this, the word Ma'on, is used in a Kabbalistic sense because there are seven heavens. There are seven heavens in one, and we learned this not that long ago in the Medrash, is that one of the heavens, the name is called Ma'on. Ma'on Hashkihi from the Ma'on Kod Shecha. Right? Ma'on is one of the heavens. And we have Shasimcha b'ma'onai.
What?
Right, that's the spot. It's based on, it's a little bit different, but it's possible. So ma'on, we have a bracha. But you say by sheva brachais. You say by sheva brachais, Shasimcha b'ma'onai. Okay? B'ma'onai. And there's the whole big shal. Are you allowed to say that bracha? Are you allowed to say that bracha by a siyum? By a siyum. The famous... Who says the Aruch HaShulcha maybe? It's a famous sugya. Why don't we make the bracha when you make a siyum? Do you say tachnun when you daven mincha before siyum? Do you make the bracha by benching of a siyum, the bracha shehasimcha b'ma'oinai? So I think it's Aruch HaShulcha says definitely not. You know why? Because the simcha is right here in this world. Ma'on means the simcha is in shamayim. When a person gets married, they're not always happy. Not every marriage is a happy marriage. So you say Shasimcha, so you say by the Sheva Brachas. No, even though the Chos and Kala don't look too happy, Shemayim are very happy. Shasimcha b'ma'oinai. But here in this world, there's a lot of pain in this world. When it comes to making a Sim Misechta Torah, that Simcha is so real, it's so true, the Simcha is right here in this world. It's a lie to say Shasimcha b'ma'oinai, because that creates a connotation that there's no simcha in this world. The simcha is here right now in this world. In this world, not in Shamayim, it's here. And now in this passage, according to the Pshat, this passage, Ma'on Beisach, the Ma'on is in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash, it's in this world. We're using it in a different context. Rashi, there is no Rashi in this passage. Pasuk Tes says, Al Te'esoif im chato'im nafshi, do not take my neshama with wicked people, v'anshei damim chayoi, and with murderers chayoi my life. The repetition of two different things, which basically means that when there's a kitrog on this world, kevon sheniten rishus l'mashchis, like by the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hashem gave the malach avodah rishus to kill everyone. So the malach, the mashchis, is not mavchin, ben tzadik lo rosha. But the only reason why the mashch is coming to destroy is because they're wicked people. So David, we were saying that there's now a time of, there's a times in the world where there's a magefa. Mamash, they say that by magefa. Last 2 years, when there is a magefa, and the mashch has been given permission to go out into this world and take people's lives, it's not mafkin. A person's merits is not necessarily going to save them. It's a very dangerous time when the mashchis has permission to destroy, to take large numbers of people in this world. It doesn't differentiate between the tzaddik and the rasha. At this moment in time, when a person wants to survive, he needs extra special merit. And that's what David here is being mispalel. Al te'esoif. Asifa is a word of death. Vayigva vayyosef elamov. Perished and he was ingathered. The word asifa is a term that is used in reference to death. David says, Al te'esoif im chato'im nafshi. Do not let my neshama be taken into the next world with wicked people. My time has not yet come. And even though there are many wicked people that are being taken in this world because the mashkes has gone forth, and the mashkes is not mafkin in tzadik lo rasha, Hashem, I need you now more than ever to protect me and not let the mashkes take me like what Hashem did on the night of Pesach. V'avayti bi'eretz Mitzrayim v'layla hazeh. Hashem went out in Mitzrayim to prevent the mashkes from taking Klal Yisrael, from the firstborns of Klal Yisrael. It's a very unusual miracle. Hashem stood by the door, the dam haPesach, dam haMilah, and told the mashkes, no, don't go in here. Hashem protected. Al Tesoif, the Machatam Ashabi, and the Anshay Damud murderers, do not let them take Chaya my life. Pasuk Yud, Asher Bidehem Zima. The wicked have in their hand Zima. Zima means, there are many different translations of the word Zima. All depends on the context. Here, the Mitzudos David, he says, V'lezeh It's very skimpy here, the mitzudos. I'm very disappointed. The mitzudos, davening mitzudos, usually they really, you know, they open up things wide. But in Tehillim, he must have written this in the early days, because in the other svarim is much, much more marach. He never misses a pasuk. In every single word, b'liyotz min haklal, he explains. In Tehillim, he doesn't do that. In Tehillim, it's much lighter. It's a much lighter parish. But he says over here, zima means, what does zima mean? Zima means nus, not necessarily. Zima means corruption. It means planning. Russian of to plan to commit a crime. What he planned to do. Planning to do evil. So it says over here, in their hands there is planning to do evil. In their right hands, mala sheichat, full of bribery. It's all about money. Everything is paid off. Okay, it's, you know, it comes out. It's very interesting now in America with a terrible tragedy with what happened in Texas, and you know, all the politicians are you know, taking advantage of this to push the gun agenda, right? There's a lot of information out there, and a lot of that comes out is, I don't know, this is way over my head, the suya. But there's an enormous lobby going on. What?
NRA.
I never appreciated this.
Wow.
Never appreciated this. How much money they spend to let people have weapons.
Side as well.
What?
And the opposite side as well.
What do you mean the opposite side?
They are also a powerful lobby.
The anti-guns.
So it's amazing how it's all money. It's really all money. And the pharmaceutical companies? I mean, the pharmaceutical companies, off the charts. Off the charts. I mean, I think it's such a terrible thing how the pharmaceuticals are allowed to, you know, pay money, you know, dealing with life. You know, it should be pure. Yeah, you wish, right? Everything revolves around money. David says it. The more things change, the more they stay the same. It all comes back to money. Asher bidehem zima, the wicked people, they're full of planning and plotting. They're all conspiring to do who knows what. Viminam, their right hand, mala sheichad. I mean, has anything changed in 3,000 years?
Ein chod
zachas shamash. It's all about money. It's all it is, and it's David says it right here. They are conspirators. That's what he says. Asher bidehem zima. Of Kalman, he said the word means to plan. They're planning to do evil, these people. They're trying. What are they planning to do? I have no idea. But it's something doesn't seem right. What they're doing, I have no idea. As far as I am concerned, bisuni elech, I walk with wholesomeness. Pideini vichoneini. Hashem, I beg of you to redeem me and to show me favor. Pasuk in Beis, Ragli under v'mishar, my feet stand in uprightness. B'makelim, this is the famous expression, amongst assemblies. Avarech Hashem, I praise you amongst assemblies. Let's see the Mitzvot Rashi, we'll finish up. The Mitzvot Pasuk, Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'ani, Aval. Ani halo b'sumi elech lezepedeni misas hachatoim, save me, ragli, my feet, halo ragli amda b'derech ha-yashor v'kohol, raf, and in a great assembly, avarech l'Hashem, v'edeni k'mayhem l'yostom elochem, I'm not going to be like these evil people, period. Rashi, pasik yod, beis, ragli amda v'mishor b'derech yashor. We'll go back to pasik yod, zimo, kol zim shemik l'oshon machashava. Point Rashi, pasik yod, Rashi, every time it says the word zimo, every time it says the word zima in Tanakh, this refers to a thought, a plan. Yesh le toiva.
And it says zima he, that's only the thought.
So it depends. I don't know. Zima he, it says it by Arias, as you said. I don't know. Over here in this context, it says called zima shel mikro l'shon machashava. Yesh le toiva v'yesh le ra'ah. Sometimes a plan, you have a good plan, and there are some evil plans. Yibes, ragli, under the Yishab, Yashar. Okay, look at the Mamar Chazal. the Mamor Chazal Vani, look at the Pasuk Ches. This one, Pasuk Ches in the Mamor Chazal, Lukutei Shas, on page 237. Hashem Ahavti Ma'on Meisechem, Rabbi Meiresh, this is a very famous Chazal. Meiresh, it used to be, Have Gorisna Bebesa, I would learn at home, in the bias. It's not necessarily meaning in the home, and maybe it means the Beis Medrash. And I would pray the day Kinishta in the Beis Hakneses. Kevon Dish, Mo'itz Lo, the Kamar David, Hashem Ahavti, I love Mo'on Beisecha, the abode of your bias. Have Gorisna Bebei Kinishta. I would learn in Shul as well, in the Beis Hakneses. Now, there's more in that Gemara. The Gemara goes on. The Gemara talks about davening between the pillars, but basically, you really need more precision to explain this in detail. But this is really what we do today. In today's day and age, obviously, every single Beis Medrash, we always discuss this. Every Beis Medrash is a Beis Hakneses. Every Beis Hakneses is a Beis Medrash. In Shulchan Aruch, we discuss there are different halachas. There are unique halachas that are related to the Beis Hakneses, and there are halachas of the Beis Medrash. There are some areas where the Beis HaMedrash has more stringencies, and there are some areas where the Beis HaKnesses has more stringencies. And in Tana Chazal, it used to be where the Beis HaKnesses, the only thing you do in the Beis HaKnesses is daven. There's no learning done there. There are no announcements, nothing but davening. And the Beis HaMedrash was 24-7 learning. 24-7, you come to Beis HaMedrash to learn, you're potter from davening. Ha'isek b'mitzah, potter b'mitzah, a person is shakua and is learning. You don't daven. Let's say you want to daven, you need to daven, so you leave the Beis Medrash and you go to the local shtibel, to the Beis HaKnesses, to daven. The two were not mixed. Hai luchod v'hai luchod, completely separate. Abaye, it seems that during the time of the Amoroyim, is when this thing first began to happen. The intermingling of the Beis Medrash and the Beis HaKnesses. Is that a maila or a chasar? And over here he quotes it as, originally, I used to daven, I used to learn bebesa. What does that mean? In the bias. Does that mean the Beis Medrash? Or Stam at home? I don't know. It seems like it's home. It seems like home, probably. That's not a good idea, to learn at home. Very distracting to learn at home. And then, umitzaleina bebei kenishta, Kevon the Shamis, Lahadakama Davar Hashem Haftim, I love Ma'on Beisecha. And the Ma'on Beisecha refers to what? Beis HaKnesses? Umakoy Mishkan Kibadecha. So therefore, for some reason, I'm going to go learn now in the Beis HaKnesses. I don't know, there's something, obviously, there's something more to this which I'm missing. All right, now this idea of Bimakelois, amongst assemblies, I will praise you. Okay, amongst assemblies, I will, the last words of this Mizmar, ran li under the Misha b'makhelim. B'makhelim avarech Hashem. What does it say over here? I thought we had, there's a Maimah Chazal. No, it must be somewhere else. A choir, yeah? The Makhelim Avarech Hashem, I believe this is one of the sources for the famous Chazal, Berov Am Hadras Melech. Okay, there's a principle of the Makhelim Avarech Hashem. For example, when you put on tefillin in the morning, I'm sure everyone here comes very early to davening. Davening is at 7 o'clock, certainly everyone is in shul by 6:30, for sure. And now everyone is taking out their tefillin. How many people make a bracha on the tefillin? Does everyone make a bracha on tefillin, or does one person make a bracha? Everyone takes out their tefillin shoyad and they put it on, and one person makes the bracha. Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvah sevitzvah lo niach tefillin. Everyone puts on their tefillin. That's really what we should do. It's not a joke. Every single bracha. That's what it says. Avorech Hashem. When it comes to make every single bracha, the proper way is one person should make the bracha, and everyone should answer Amen, and the bracha will be made in an assembly. In an assembly. That is the proper way to actually do mitzvah. We don't do that for some reason. We don't do it in almost anything anymore. And one of the reasons given is when it comes to a long bracha, we don't concentrate very well. And if someone's going to make the bracha and we're going to be quiet and we're going to listen, it's not likely we're going to be listening very well. We're not good listeners. So therefore, it's better that everyone should make the bracha independently. That way, at least you'll concentrate a bit more than if one person will make the bracha and everyone will listen to you say the bracha. But me'ikar hadin, the real way to do it is one person should make the bracha and everyone should answer amen because of b'makelos b'varech Hashem. I was like, derech agav, something which really blew my mind. This is a chiddush. I don't know anyone says this other than Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. It's a side point, which is a tremendous chiddush. And he says when a person makes a bracha, the complete bracha is only with amen. That's why you find many people, they enjoy very much if when they make a bracha, if they can make the bracha in the presence of somebody, so someone will answer amen. If I make a bracha, shahakol yad bidvaray, it's not really complete. If I do this, no one's listening. I just say, baruch atah Hashem, kei melechom, shahakol yad bidvaray, and no one hears me make the bracha. Okay, I made a bracha. I am now permitted to drink, to consume the beverage, but there is no one who said amen to my bracha. So there's something lacking in the bracha. A chelek of the bracha is amen. There's a technical problem. You cannot and should not answer amen to your own bracha, which you should know is not so simple, because we do answer amen to certain brachas. At the end, at the end of the series, Yishtabach, some answer amen after you, to their own Yishtabach. At the end of a series of blessings, you answer amen to your own blessing. Okay, but generally, it's not so simple why we are not allowed to answer amen to our bracha. That's the halacha. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to answer amen to your own bracha. There are exceptions. But because we're not allowed to answer amen, it takes away from the bracha, because the bracha needs an amen. So what's the solution? When you make your bracha, say it in the presence of somebody. So that person will answer amen. So Rav Chaim Kanievsky says that's not enough. The person who answers amen shouldn't just whisper it. Well, if we would stop here, what would you say? I'm making the bracha, shakol yabid varo. There's no one in the room. I call someone in. I make the bracha. And the person listens to the bracha and he whispers amen. So I look, I didn't hear you say, I said amen. Okay, fine. I said the bracha, you said amen. I didn't hear you say amen, but you said amen. Oh, yoytze lechatchila. Rav Chaim Kanievsky says wrong. He has to answer amen loud and have kavana to be motzi you with the amen that you really should say. When you make a bracha, Rav Chaim says, you should say baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam shehakol nehiyeh bedvaroy amen. Chazal said you don't want to do that. You don't answer amen to your own bracha. So what's the solution? Have someone else answer amen, and they should have kavana to be moitzi you with the amen. And in order for that to occur, you're going to be yoitzi the amen with shemeya ka'inya, but that person has to say amen loud, and have kavana to be moitzi you. And I hear him say amen, oh, that's now becomes my amen. It's a tremendous chiddush. You ever hear that? I never heard that before. Is that the one you see in shul, they make brachas to one another. People come early. They make brachas. So when each one is saying amen, they're not just saying amen, they're answering amen. They're saying amen to the moitzi, the one who says the bracha, to be yoitze with the amen. It also explains why in the halacha in the Chazaras Hashatz, when you have to be very careful to wait until the people in the shul, they answer amen before you go into the next bracha. Some people, they're in such a rush, they zip through the whole Shemone Esrei, and the people in the tzibur, they answer amen after each bracha, but when they're answering amen, the Baal Tfilah is already off to the races. He's already in the next bracha. Then he's losing, because the Baal Tfilah needs the amen in order to make the Shemone Esrei the way it's supposed to be. And you need Shemea Ka'oineh. But you have to listen. That's a chiddush. But in general, b'makelim, avarech Hashem is a makar that a bracha ideally should be made by one person in the presence of the tzibur. Everyone answers amen to the mitzvah. We don't do this today too much because of different reasons. One of the reasons, because we don't concentrate too well, and therefore we need everyone to make the one bracha. It will be more of a possibility, a chance that the bracha will be said with concentration. Okay, we'll stop over here for a few moments, and we'll learn a little chumash in a few moments.